we pick up on the subject of the adulterous woman. Many of us may think, you know, this is really not for me. It doesn't affect me. I can check out of this one. But I do believe, especially being a counselor, that we cannot afford to check out here. As Pastor Tom has shown us in Romans 1, that our world is crashing with great speed into discipline and destruction. And America today is absolutely sex-saturated, to, in my opinion, an alarming extent, to an almost unfathomable degree. I went to college in the mid-1960s, so you can kind of figure out how old I am. And I entered as a freshman at Texas Women's University, an all-women's college, a world away from other colleges who were, that's where the wild scene was, you know, the drugs, the sex, the hippies, and Woodstock. That was not where I went. Upon arrival at Texas Women's University, I was handed a very large rule book to read and practice. And in its pages, they had some absolutely ridiculous rules, like no drinking Cokes in the hall, no wearing pants, which was a big issue for everybody, on campus at all. Curfew, 10 o'clock on weekdays, 11 o'clock on weekends. And some good ones, no boys in your room, ever. Well, in 1990, January, I returned to the campus in Denton again from the Houston Nursing Center to a very different world. No rules. No rules. Pants, you could wear them anywhere. Boys even were allowed in the rooms. I don't mean to sleep there, but they were allowed in the rooms. The whole schmear was gone. It was removed in 3.5 years. And I may add, the changes have never stopped at all. They've never slowed down in the colleges of America or anywhere else in America. And the changes go only one way, down. Today, in 2015, America proudly flaunts her sexuality, homosexuality, gay marriage, abortion on demand, nudity, no rules, no rule sex, unrestrained profanity, the internet, easy divorce, all manner of violence, not just on film, but also in our classrooms and on our streets. And the icing on the cake, 50 Shades of Grey sex toys sold at Target. Things too vile to even mention are flaunted in print and discussed on talk shows, seen in movies. In fact, recently, I heard that there were a group of girls from an all-girls college up north. They went to the administrator and wanted to know if they could have a permit for a club. They were going to call it the 50 Shades of Grey Club because they needed to know about the subject so they could be prepared for it. Political correctness, of course, is always ever present to curb anybody's tongue who desires to condemn any of those lifestyles mentioned above. And this is the world that we live in, that we bring our children up in. So this lesson should be very important to us. The goal of the book of Proverbs is to teach the reader, us, and also Solomon's sons, to seek what? To seek wisdom. And that's all the way through the book. Solomon had a lot to say about many lures for his sons, but sexual sin was one of, it seems, his main concerns. In chapter 1 through 4, the emphasis is clearly on wisdom. He's laying a foundation for what our goals, what our desires should be, where we focus on, and that is wisdom. And look in chapter 4, verses 20 to 27. And we'll be flipping around in Proverbs. He says, verse 20, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of" what? "Life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead," or directly ahead, "and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left." The benefits of wisdom and the problem of foolishness kind of sets the theme for this book, and certainly this topic, for our hearts. We need to be ready to receive the coming warnings that Solomon is getting ready to give his sons and to us. This passage, this little section here, involves the ear, the mouth, the feet, the heart, the eyes, and the foot. The entire body should be involved in seeking wisdom, not turning to the right or the left. What happens when you turn to the right or the left? You get distracted. You find all kind of stuff out there. It involves the whole body. In chapter 5, Solomon starts in on the topic of sexual temptation. It's interesting, that's the very first topic that he starts to teach his sons. It's the very first topic, obviously, that is important, not just for boys, but for females as well. He describes the adulteress in chapter 5, verse 3 through 6. Let's look at that. He says, "For the lips of the adulteress drip honey." Is that right? Let's see. 5 through 7. Yeah, okay. "For the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and smoother than oil is her speech. But in the end she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold of Sheol. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways are unstable, and she doesn't know it." So that's the kind of the first description he gives his sons of the adulteress. And then Solomon gives instructions to keep from her in verses 8 to 14. I'm going to read those. "Keep your way far from her. Do not go near the door of her house, or you will give your vigor to others and your years to the cruel one. Strangers will be filled with your strength, and your hard-earned goods will go to the house of an alien. And you groan at your final end when your flesh and your body are consumed. And you say, 'How I have hated instruction, and my heart spurned reproof. I have not listened to the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to my instructors. I was almost in utter ruin in the midst of the assembly and the congregation.'" Those are very strong words, aren't they? He says that this kind of activity is going to lead to destruction. But then he gives some very refreshing words in 15 to 20, and I'm not going to read those. He instructs us on how to keep from that evil woman. How is it in those verses? "Drink water from your own cistern. You find a wonderful wife, a wonderful husband, and you enjoy them." So that's very wise for him. It's interesting, he didn't actually obey what he was writing for his sons, but he talks about the purity and the beauty of being exhilarated and satisfied with your own mate. And I think that's one of the problems we have. We're not exhilarated and absorbed and satisfied with the mate that God has given to us. The one out there looks much better. In verses 21 and 23, he says, if you refuse to resist sexual sin, in verse 21 of the same chapter, if you refuse that, the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he watches all his paths. His own iniquities will capture the wicked, and he will be held with the cords of his sin. He will die for lack of instruction, and in the greatness of his folly, he will go astray. Now, I want you to look at verse 22. It says, his own sins, his own iniquities will capture the wicked, and he will be held with the cords of his sin. Have you ever heard anybody say, I can't stop? I can't. I can't. I'm not going to stop seeing that man. I'm not going to stop looking at that internet. I can't. I just can't. And this is telling us very clearly, sin does feel like it's tied you up. It absolutely does. But how he feels, I can't resist it, and he feels helpless, is wrong. Because what he's doing is believing, or she's believing, her feelings, not the truth. Feelings, very strong, but lies. And when somebody says, I can't help it, that's a lie. They can help it. They don't want to, because their feelings are so strong for that sin. It's so clear. That's just kind of a mantra with most people. I can't help it. I can't. In chapter 6, Solomon picks up again in verse 20 of that same chapter 6. And he tells his son again, my son, observe the commandment of your father. Do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart and tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. They means principles. Principles that he's just taught them. These principles when you walk around, they need to guide you. They need to direct what you're thinking, what you're saying. When you sleep, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk to you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is light, and reproofs are discipline. And reproofs for discipline are the way of life, to keep you from the evil woman. So all these reproofs and instruction that he's been giving in all these chapters up to 6 are to keep you from the evil man. For them, the evil woman. So, are these just for men? No. Absolutely not, I would say. These are warnings for all not to fall prey to adultery. Now, obviously, this topic is very important, and it needs repeating, and that's why Solomon repeats it so many times. But I want you to think of some issues in today's world that make that repetition so very, very important. There is the internet with its ever-present lure to pornography. And if you think pornography is not an issue with women, you're absolutely wrong. It's a huge issue with women. It is set up in many ways titillate you to go to that site. Just take one little look. Just one little look. And that's all you need. Josh McDowell did a study on children, very concerned about children and these pornography things. And so he did this big study. And he says that the predators even know the sights and the words that little children would use to go to their favorite little sites, their little fun sites. So they put those words to go to their pornography. And he said in his big study, that most preschoolers, and elementary students, they go to those sites and they have viewed pornography. Elementary and preschool kids. And they're set up, they're just connected to those sites when that one word is typed in. He said that a huge percentage of 4- and 5-year-olds were exposed to pornography. Doesn't that make you mad? Doesn't it make you mad? Parents never know it. They never know, because the little kid doesn't come and tell them. They don't even know what they're looking at. But it's a draw. It's a draw. This is not just a man's problem, though it is a huge problem with them. It is drawing more and more women to those sites. It's getting to be a huge problem with women who are caught in the web. So do not be sucked into these CDs that you see advertised in these stupid magazines to spice up your love life. They're nothing but pornography. Pure, unadulterated pornography. Don't ever do it. It can trap you. Verse 26. For on account of a harlot, one is reduced to a loaf of bread. I love that. That's how much value there is on a person who's sucked into this stuff. You're reduced to the price of a loaf of bread. There is also Facebook, and all of you are experts at Facebook, connecting with old boyfriends, friends that you had in high school or college, or new and very interesting-looking men on these Facebook sites. The trap is already laid. You are the catch. In chapter 7, again, the admonition is to keep my, Solomon's, David's, God's words and treasure my commandments within you. Chapter 7, verse 1. Flip to chapter 7. And then he says, keep my commandments and live, and my teaching as the apple of your eye. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your intimate friend, that they may keep you from an adulteress, from the foreigner who flatters you with her words. In verse 6, it says, he talks about him looking out the window of his house, and he could, through his lattice, he could see among the naive and discerned among the youths a young man lacking sense. That would be the one caught in pornography or adultery. You've heard the right thing in these chapters. And yet, it is so easy to get sucked into it anyway. You just click on the TV, right? Just click it on. And the filth of it is astounding today. The exhilarating, amazing sex every time. Really? And illicit liaisons with astounding results. Every one of them are lies. Ridiculous. First of all, who could ever look like those females look? Chapter 7, verse 22. Suddenly he follows her, and as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as one in fetters to the discipline of a fool, until an arrow pierces through his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare, so he does not know that it will cost him his life. And again, in 24, he's pleading with his sons. Now, therefore, my sons, listen to me and pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For many are the victims that she has cast down, and numerous are all her slain. Her house is in the way to Sheol, descending to the chambers of death. He says, listen to the truth. Turn to the Lord for help. It is not something that you cannot control. It is not more than you can stop. It doesn't have any grip on you. You have a grip on you because you're allowing your feelings to control you. It is a result of sin. And it feels like you can't stop. But with God's help, and I would say the help of a good counselor or a good and godly friend who knows the word, you go to them and don't be ashamed that you're caught in this. Be glad that you can find somebody to help you get out of it. These chapters are not nebulous words only to men and boys. They are very pertinent to all women as well, for themselves and for their children. And I would say that sex today is just not a big thing. I mean, it's just, so what? No, of course. Of course I'm not a virgin. In nursing, I worked for 11 years as a nurse in an OB-GYN clinic. And I only remember one young person that came in that was a virgin. And I went out of that room and I found my other Christian. I said, yes, there was a virgin. Can you believe it? It is so prevalent everywhere. As counseling, most people I see, I would say, have all had sex before marriage. It is just like, of course I have. I mean, the fastest growing sexually transmitted diseases are in the retirement villages. Are you kidding me? This is just horrible. That is the truth. Sex before marriage is almost expected, and it is not thought of as a problem at all. What glorious words of hope Solomon gives to us in his instruction from the Lord. In these chapters are just glorious. I hope you really read them. They're just astounding words. We have to obey them. And then, too, not just these wonderful words here, but there are the words that King Lemuel's mother gave to him regarding the kind of wife a godly woman should be. And you can kind of wash your mind out with this amazing chapter. And you got to go through it and compare it to flu-flu that was in these other chapters. But while this woman is very challenging to me, she is the picture of a truly God-centered, God-honoring wife. She is an example, our example, our goal, my goal. I am not there, but it's my goal to be like her, my challenge to be like her, and I hope it's yours too. As you read these words of this amazing woman, who gave her life to the Lord and the rest of her efforts she gives to her husband and her family. Contrary to the adulterous woman who went out to seek foolish prey, who obviously was not satisfied with her husband, who she said was gone. And, you know, I want to kind of put it in today's terms. She claimed maybe her idea was he's gone. And he's mean anyway. And not only that, he's uninterested in me, and he's a workaholic, And he's all never home. He's never home. Interestingly, this adulterous woman was a religious woman. She gave, you know, in today's terms, when the plate was passed, she gave that money. And she was proud of it. She gave her money. She probably sang the songs. Maybe she even prayed. But it meant nothing. It was works. Works to make points with God. As Matthew Henry said, she was making all of it even with God Almighty. And therefore, then she might venture out upon a new score of sins. Wow. She mentions her religious work to the boy. Maybe he also was a churchgoer. This picture in Proverbs 5 through 7 isn't of an evil prostitute woman. This is not a prostitute. This is the female that you sit next to at church. She goes to church. She doesn't look like a prostitute. She looks like us. How easily it could be us. And as I have discussed here, in Proverbs 5, 4 through 6, let me look at Proverbs 5, 4 through 6. It says, this is the end of the adulterous woman, and it's very sad. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, and her steps follow the path to Sheol. She does not ponder the path of her life. Her ways wander, and she does not know it. And now, O sons, listen to me, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. The end for this lady is very sad and very tragic. It's a great loss for her. And look at the losses that it might produce for us today. Loss of, loss of vigor, sexually transmitted diseases, AIDS, divorce, loss of money, health, loss of health, remorse, ruin, regret, disgrace, a high cost. You think of the discipline we've had in our church recently. Very high cost for the adulteress and her prey. Just as Solomon's sons, must read frequently and hide in our hearts the warning and the admonition of Proverbs in these four chapters, as well as many other places in the Word. For example, on your little list there, I think I have it. There are some other verses. These are guardrails, just like Proverbs is. These are guardrails, and there's many others in the New Testament. I didn't include those. First of all, the psalmist in Psalm 119, 9 through 11. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart, I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart. I like your word I have hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Job 31:1. I have made a covenant with my eyes. How then could I gaze at a virgin? And that could be us too, making a covenant with our eyes. David, Psalm 141. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the doors of my lips. Do not incline my heart to any evil thing, to practice deeds of wickedness with men who do iniquity, and do not let me eat of their delicacies. Those are very, very good verses to keep in mind. We must keep godly commands in the forefront of our minds, and we need to repeat those encouragements over and over. Keep them in front and center. And that helps us avoid all kinds of wickednesses. And we need to, on the other hand, pursue what? Wisdom. 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 Strive to be that Proverbs 31 pattern, that beautiful spirit, godly thinking, a pattern available only through knowing God's Word and allowing the Holy Spirit to fill us as we work that Word out. If you look back at Proverbs 7, 1 through 4, just look at that real quickly, Proverbs 7, 1 through 4. It says, "My son, keep my words and treasure up my commandments with you. Keep my commandments and live. Keep my teaching as the apple of your eye and bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call insight your intimate friend, to keep you from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words." You look at those verses, and they have six verbs that we can kind of use. Number one, keep. Keep what? God's commands. Keep them, or God's words. Store them up. Guard them as treasures for a meaningful, godly life. And in verses 1 and 2, it says, treasure. So you keep the words, you treasure. Treasure what? God's commandments. Where? In the heart. The heart is there for their treasure. That's where the treasure is. And that treasure should be like the apple of your eye, the most tender, most protected part of you, as he says in here. Bind. He says, bind them around your neck and bind them around your finger. So like a ring on your finger or a necklace around your neck. Write. Write them on your heart laboriously, skilled, purposefully. Write them on your heart. Memorize them. Major things in these writings that require diligence and hard work and really hard words. Say, wisdom is my sister, my kinsman, my wife. And call. That verse 4 says, call insight, your intimate friend, to keep you from the forbidden woman. Call her. She's the close one, the one that's closer than the brother. That word of God, it needs to be close. It needs to be right always at your beck and call. Remind yourself constantly to stay pure. And that kind of thinking has to be commandment-driven, not feelings-driven. We cannot trust our feelings for anything. Remind yourself of these verses. Do what they say. And remember, if you're involved in any of these things, get help. Don't just sit there looking pretty like there's nothing wrong in your life, because there is, if that's something that you're involved in. In pornography, in adultery, it is there. It's everywhere. Get help from a counselor or a godly woman. But remember, God is much bigger than any sin. Thank the Lord we have Easter coming. And that's when he took care of the sins of those who've put their faith in Jesus Christ. He is the conqueror. But remember one other thing. There is a point of no return. Proverbs 1, 24 through 30 talks about it. When you sow disobedience and reap the whirlwind. May God help each one of us to choose to be attentive to God's word and let our own hearts turn aside, not turn aside to the right or to the left, and bind his word on our hearts. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for what you've told us. So very much, 2015, Lord. Help us to know what they say. Help us to know these words and hide them in our hearts. Help us to encourage others who might be caught in this as well. In Jesus' name, amen.